When Billy Graham was driving through a small southern town, he was stopped by a policeman and charged with speeding. So Graham, you know, being the good Christian man that he was or is, admitted his guilt and was told by the policeman that he'd have to go to court and appear in court. So when he went to court, the judge said, "Are you guilty or not guilty?" And Graham pleaded guilty. And the judge replied, "Well, that will be $10, a dollar for every mile that you went over the limit." But then suddenly the judge recognised who Billy Graham was. He says, "You violated the law and the fine must be paid, but I'm going to pay it for you." And with that, he took a $10 note out of his own wallet, attached it to the ticket, and then took Billy Graham out for dinner and bought him a steak. And that, said Billy Graham, is how God, through his grace, treats repentant sinners. I love that story. And the Bible speaks of grace in so many different, beautiful ways. There are the exceeding riches of God's grace, his abundant grace, his manifold grace. You know, we sing of his grace, we confess it, and we have glory in it. But our scripture reading today emphasises a new relationship to grace. You know, it's not enough to be saved by grace, or to live it, or die by it, or even to know grace. We must grow in it. As 2 Peter 3 verse 18 says, "But grow in grace." And this is the final verse of two of Peter's letters that he wrote that are in the New Testament. And in 1 Peter, the first letter, the theme is about the grace of God. And the letter describes the sufficiency of God's grace in salvation, submission and suffering. And the second letter that Peter wrote has assurance and growth as in spiritual knowledge as its theme. So verse 18 summarises these letters by the thought of growing in grace and knowledge. Oh, hang on, it helps if I turn it on, doesn't it? Okay. So 1 Peter 5 verse 12 says, "With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it." So in other words, stand firm in God's grace. But then 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." So when we stand fast and grow in God's grace, we will know the wonderful work of the Lord in our lives. So today we're going to look at three ideas about the grace of growing. The first one is the imperative of growing in grace. Now lots of you are parents, grandparents, and some even great-grandparents. And I want you to think back to a time when you first brought your new baby home. Now that's Finn Shaw, Bev and Kev's new grandbaby. Now when a new baby arrives home, a small amount of initial weight loss occurs. But then in the course of the next week of the baby's life, almost all of that weight is regained and then some maybe. So you could say that growth is normal. We should expect growth. But funny how we act surprised when it happens. We say things like, "Wow, isn't he getting so big? Well, look at you, you're growing up so fast." Now, I did that on Friday night when I saw Logan and he came running up to me and gave me a hug around my leg. And I looked at him and went, "Man, you've gotten so big, you're growing up, you're such a big boy." I said it like that too. And then I was quite surprised, but I haven't seen him for a few weeks and of course he's going to grow in that time, isn't he? So think of all the years of growth that had happened over each of our lives and the lives of children, you know, your children. Grow is a word of command, and God commands us to grow in grace, just as he commands us to do many other things, such as repent, believe, and love. Growth should not be something difficult to do. You know, where there is life, there is growth. Where there is spiritual life, there is spiritual growth. Grow is also a word of continuity. It is in the present tense. So it has the idea of continuing to grow in grace. And to do so is to bring glory to Christ now and forever. You know, Matthew 24 verse 12 tells us that to not grow spiritually is to grow cold in our hearts. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 11, tell us that there are three ways to tell when a Christian is not growing. I think I put them on there. And they are idle and not working for Christ, their lives are unfruitful, and they are blind, lacking spiritual insight. We could say they are spiritually nearsighted, with poor memory, forgetting what God has done for them. So God expects us to grow in his grace continually. That's his will for us. So what's the alternative to growing in grace? Well, during the building of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, has anyone ever been across the Golden Gate Bridge? Yep, a few hands. Construction fell badly behind because several workers had accidentally fallen off from the scaffolding to their deaths. So the engineers and administrators didn't know what to do, and they couldn't find a solution to the costly delays that were happening. So finally someone suggested that they put a gigantic net under the bridge and it could catch anyone that fell. So can you see the net? There? And in spite of the enormous cost of putting the net there, the engineers decided to go for it. You know, and after it was installed, progress was hardly interrupted. A worker or two fell into the net and they were saved. So ultimately, all the time that was lost to fear before the net was replaced with faith in the net once it was put there. You know, we can do something other than grow in God's grace. Verse 17 says that we are either growing or falling. I think it's important for us to look at some of the key words in verse 17. Carried away, it means to be led away. And it describes being strongly influenced by someone. So if you're not growing, you need to be aware of who is influencing you. And we need to be cautious about who we allow to influence our lives. Talks about error of lawless, and that refers to the sin of those who wander or who have deserted the right path. And the lawless are the wicked people who are not living according to the law. They are living without principles. And the word fall here is used from a Greek word used to describe flowers that wither and die during the seasons. It's also used to describe a ship out of control that runs aground. And this is what will happen to us when we respond to wrong influences in our lives. We will fall away from the course set for us in God's word. This is a serious alternative, and it's time to stand guard. It's time to grow. And the third thing is the wisdom of growing in grace. God's goal for our lives is for us to grow in grace and knowledge. To grow in grace is to increase in it, to expand our lives by it. And it carries with it several exceptional meanings. So growing in grace is growing in Christ-like character. You know, verse 18 truly means Christ-likeness. We need to grow to be like him in spiritual qualities. Growing in grace is growing in Christ-like responses. Growing in grace is growing in Christ-like knowledge. Verse 18 speaks of the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And we do this by growing in the Word of God, by spending time daily reading the Bible, and spending quality time with God. Growing in grace is growing in Christ-like speech. Colossians 4 verse 6 says, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." This means that we're to speak to one another in such a way that we enable God's grace to penetrate each other and our conversations. Growing in grace is growing in Christ-like trust. John 1 verses 16 and 17 says, "From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." As Jesus constantly trusted his Father, we must also trust our Heavenly Father to meet our every need. Growing in grace is growing in Christ-like service. The grace of Jesus' life was that he did not come to earth to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life for many. You know, gracious serving is not always easy, but it is always valuable. And growing in grace is growing in Christ-like witnessing. Wherever Jesus went, he spoke the words of grace. You know, recall how tenderly he witnessed to the woman at the well, who'd been married 5 times and was living with her current lover. And he graced her with eternal life through his witness. Throughout Scripture, we are told to be like Christ in areas of our lives. Can you see now why growing in grace is crucial to our lives? Do you feel that you are growing in God's grace? Are you striving to be Christ, to be like Christ in your character, responses, knowledge, speech, trust, service, and witnessing? If not, now is the time to obey God and start growing in his grace. I ask the band to come up. We're going to sing a song called Cornerstone. And while we sing this song,